Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today, we are answering the question, is repentance a requirement for salvation? Yes, absolutely. Now, Jesus said in Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Now, what does repent mean? Well, in the Vine's Dictionary, page 525, it states, to change one's mind or purpose. In the New Testament, the subject chiefly has reference to repentance from sin, and this change of mind involves both a turning from sin and a turning to God. So true repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change that results in a change of behavior.
Yeah, I like that. A change of behavior. You know, I think a lot of times people are struggling with their sin, Bill, because they will not take action to stop the sin.
That's right.
I mean, if a person's looking at pornography, well, get rid of your device that you're looking at it on, or put a software blockage on there to block it, or go to an accountability group, get some materials, some ministries that help with addictions and so forth. Search out some things and take action, because that's what repentance is. There's an action behind how we might feel or a prayer we might have prayed. That's not enough.
That's right. Right. You got to do something.
You have to do something. So repentance is an action.
Right. And it takes some discipline. Make up your mind and do it.
Exactly. You know, some people who call themselves Christians are living in habitual sin and think they are saved, but they are deceived. I mean, many have mentally accepted Jesus as their Savior, but they never repented and made him Lord. They've never surrendered their life to him. These people must repent. They are on the road to hell.
That's right.
I mean, mentally agreeing with the fact that Jesus is God is not enough to be saved. James 2:19 states that the devils believe and they tremble, and we know they are not saved. You know, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless a man repent, you shall all likewise perish.
That's right. So repentance is a requirement. Now today, many ministers preach, just believe, just pray this prayer, and just receive Jesus. So they leave out repentance. Now many people don't explain that a person needs to turn from sin, ask for forgiveness for their sin, and then follow Jesus. There's a big difference in believing in Jesus as Savior, but not Lord or Master of your life. He must be both in order to be saved, as Romans 10:9-10 states.
Yes, that states confess the Lord Jesus, right?
Right.
The Not Lord. The Savior Jesus.
Right. Lord Master. He's Master. You know, why do many who are Christians ask, if I drink or do drugs or live with my girlfriend, will I go to hell? Well, the question I would ask them is, why are you looking for a way to live compromised? If you feel condemned about your sin, it's because you are guilty and need to repent and stop sinning.
So true. You know, and a Christian can also be backslidden, and if they repent, God will help them. He will attempt to reach them in many ways and warn them to get off their sinful path. However, they cannot simply go on sinning month after month, year after year, ask God's help, but take no action to stop sinning.
Right.
You know, God is long-suffering, but he cannot repent for us. The longer we refuse to turn from sin, turn to God, and change our behavior, the harder our heart becomes and the more deceived a person becomes. They grow duller, further away from God, and their path becomes more dangerous. David said in Psalm 119:30, I have chosen the way of truth. So that's proactive. We have to do something.
Right. He did something. You know, your heart's conviction demands a decision that produces a radical change. But please understand, repentance is not an emotion. Now, emotions may be involved in repentance, but feeling sorrow, regret, and guilt is still not repentance.
That's such a good point. You know, so many times I think as believers, you know, we want to go by our feelings, and that is totally going to lead us down a road of deception, condemnation, never feeling good enough, whatever. There's all these things that come along with just following our emotions.
Right.
That's not obedience to the word.
No.
And it starts with, like you said, a decision. It's not an emotion followed by an action.
Right.
You know, so Bill, how important is repentance? The first word out of the mouth of Jesus was repent, recorded in Matthew 4:17. And also the first word out of the mouth of John the Baptist was also repent, recorded in Matthew 3:1-2. He said to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
That's right. That's clear. You know, and you can see by these next verses that all the writers of the New Testament, the apostles and Jesus, spoke of repentance. Mark 6:12 says, and they, the apostles, went out and preached that men should repent. Again, Jesus in Luke 13:3, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That was Peter. Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's Paul speaking. Acts 26:20, they should repent and turn to God and do good works meet for repentance. You know, so in other words, your good works should follow once you've repented. There should be evidence that you have repented. And then 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's Peter.
And also, Bill, you know, for those who write us sometimes and are playing around with sin, you know, I just have to say, just know that Jesus commanded us not to sin. It is not a suggestion. And if we're really born again and have the Holy Spirit, the greater one inside of us, we have the grace to stop sinning. We have the empowerment from Him. But a lot of times I think believers don't take the time to read the Bible. They're not reading the word. They're not praying. They're not taking time with God. They're not listening to teaching or going to church to receive instruction from the word of God to grow in their faith.
That's right.
So they're left out there like an island, isolated. Well, you can't live like that as a believer. You know, you've got to be connected to the body.
And God gives us, like you said, the grace to repent, you know, or the he gives us that it's his ability. It's in his ability that we're able to stop sinning once we're born again.
Yes, we have that.
It's in his strength, not in our own. But he gives that to us.
Exactly. You know, and when the man at the pool of Bethesda was healed, Jesus said in John 5:14, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And in John 8:11, Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more.
Right. He made it clear. He didn't mess around with sin. You know, in Acts 2:14, Peter first preached after Pentecost and spoke boldly to all the people. After, the people were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins. You know, when we read the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 11 through 24, we see that the son was lost and dead. Jesus said about the son, and when he came to himself, and he said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. His coming to his senses was most likely a result of his father praying for him. But the point is, the blindness was broken off and he realized his sin and went back and said he was no longer worthy to be called a son. So he was humbled and realized his need of forgiveness. His action to go back and say he wasn't worthy showed he had a repentant heart and a sorrowful heart. So repentance brings forgiveness.
Yes, that's such a beautiful story too. And I love how the father was waiting for the son to return home at the window. It's like the Father God, he's longing for us to just turn to him and come back to him. And he's there with open arms to take us right back and give us a brand new start.
And he made a feast for him.
Yes, he blessed him.
Blessed him.
He loved on him.
He was so excited.
He gave him gifts, yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's how God is with us. So that's all we have to do. We don't want to run from God. We want to run towards him. And repentance involves humility, as you said, and a person will feel sorrow for their sin. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 states, ye sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So without the sorrow for sin, a person really doesn't comprehend their destitute state without Jesus. However, sorrow alone is not repentance. You know, if we're not sorry, we're not going to be sorry for our sin, that our sin was exposed or that we were caught in our sin. I mean, that is not repentance, just because you feel sorry for yourself and that happened to you.
Right, exactly. You know, now a person can feel remorse about their sin because we have a conscience, Romans 2:15 and John 8:9. But remorse is not repentance. Look at the story of Judas. It shows how he felt remorse about his sin but didn't repent to God. In Matthew 27:3, it said he was remorseful. He knew he had sinned, as it says in verse 4, but he didn't go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. You know, the sorrow Judas had experienced was a worldly sorrow that only brings death.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Believer's Bible Commentary, page 1306, says that Judas was remorseful, but this was not a godly repentance that leads to salvation. Sorry for the effects which his crime brought on himself, he was yet unwilling to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Boy, how sad for him. You know, he could have been forgiven.
Yes, it's tragic.
And believed Jesus as Lord and Savior and gone to heaven. But instead,
And God would have had the scriptures written differently because he would have known he was going to do that.
Right. But Jesus said, it had been good for the man if he had not been born. So that means he didn't make it to heaven.
No, how horrible.
Right.
You know, on the other hand, Peter sinned against God, but was extremely grieved for sinning against God. In Matthew 26:75, it says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." So the words of Jesus pierced the heart of Peter.
That's right. And Matthew Henry's commentary, page 1762, says about that, "His sorrow was serious. This deep sorrow is necessary to evidence that there is a real change of mind, which is the essence of repentance." Now, Peter never denied Jesus again, but confessed him often and openly, and even ended his life. You know, he gave his life by not denying Jesus as Lord and Savior. So he was crucified upside down on a cross.
Yes, and so we know for, you know, the rest of the story how Peter lived. He was obviously lived for Jesus and a repentant life.
Right, totally sold out for God.
You know, and when conviction comes to each one of us, we must ask, what must I do? I can't live in this condition. You know, we want to change. When real conviction comes, that should be our response to that conviction.
Right.
You know, many times when people struggle with sin, it is because they are not willing to forsake their sin.
Right. And that reminds me of a story about my brother, Tommy. He died some years ago at the age of 53 of cancer of the throat because he smoked. He had not given his life to the Lord until his last breath. So, but, you know, I talked to him many times, and at one time he agreed to say the prayer and asked Jesus into his heart, and he did. But he said to me right afterwards, "You know, Bill, I'm just not willing to change or repent. I like my sinful lifestyle. I believe Jesus is God. I can believe that, but I'm not willing to change."
Yeah, he thought he was okay the way he was.
Right.
He didn't really want to stop living the lifestyle he lived.
Right. And it resulted in his death, you know. But he did get saved at the very last because my mom never stopped praying for him, and he repented and received Jesus on his deathbed.
Yes, praise God for praying mothers.
Oh, I'm so grateful, and I'll be so grateful to see my brother again, you know.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you know, repentance is a gift. Repentance is a complete change of heart and change of mind that results in a change of behavior, including a desire to know God. If there is no change in a person, there was no repentance. Now, God's grace provides forgiveness if we repent.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.